Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host this show. And today we have a very interesting guest who we're going to have her talk a lot about herself so she can help people understand what's really out there for them. So let's bring her on right away. Her name is Dr. Susan, which is what I'm going to call her. And you're going to pronounce your last name, Dr. Susan, so I don't screw it up. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. My name is Dr. Susan Palmieri, and I work in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Great. And you're a PhD.
I am. I have a PhD from Holos University in Springfield, Missouri, in energy medicine.
Now, when you talk about energy medicine, let's kind of describe to the listeners what energy medicine is really all about.
Okay. We sometimes, in general, talk about all of the alternative, all of the complementary methods of healing, arts, and science. We kind of lump that all together now and call it alternative, complementary, holistic, or energy medicines. And we are practitioners who really are invested in doing research and practicing healing arts using techniques that are very much scientifically proven to heal.
Okay.
And, you know, that can be real esoteric.
Yeah.
You know, it can be hands-on healing. It can be using Reiki, forms of Reiki, or other vibrational medicines.
No. Go ahead.
You know, many times the practitioners are using intuitive skills that they have and are using different modalities based on what they've been practicing, whether they work do body work or spiritual counseling or emotional counseling, or even in the practical real world, many people use energy medicines in business and leadership counseling.
Is it okay if I call you Dr. Susan?
Yes, please.
Okay. Because I think that people are under the impression that they need to use one form or another, and I don't believe that, okay? I think that if somebody has, you know, different ways of doing things, that using all of those would actually be a benefit rather than to only stick with one modality. Would that seem to be true?
Well, I honor your opinion, and I also, part of my practice is considered integrative energy medicine. And in integrative medicine, we say, let's look at the conventional forms of healing, and let's look at the traditional forms of healing, and let's see what works best for you. Many times, especially my practice, in large part, is working with people who have chronic and life-threatening disease. And so they have been in the conventional allopathic medicines and have been told there's nothing more we can do. You have 6 months, you have a year. Or they get a prognosis of care, sometimes that doesn't offer them any suggestions on what to do except to go home and die. Or to go home and expect that their condition is going to worsen and cripple and disable and so on. So in integrative medicines, they come and they say, well, Dr. Susan, what can I do? And I say, well, there's a great deal you can do. We can start out by looking at all of the things that bring joy and happiness and abundance and health and wealth and all of those things that we know change the course of disease. And so we put a program of life skills and life changes, you know, to the person. And we say, let's make some changes in the way that you eat, in the way that you live, in the activities that you do, and in some of your other practices, whether they be spiritual practice or social. So I think it is important to be able to integrate both, Nancy.
Yeah,
but I also want to advocate to the younger listeners out there, or to the listeners who are sort of on the fence, thinking, is it possible for me to be responsible and completely use all natural therapies and natural medicines? And I say yes. The answer to that is yes. And I think that that's a healthier choice.
Well, I do, too. See, I have I used to be a nurse a long time ago, number one, okay? I was a licensed practical nurse. I stopped doing it because I could not agree with the way the doctors did things or said things, because they would tell people, you know, that exact thing, you're sick, all you can do is go home and die. Well, I had a problem with that because I believe that that's not true. I believe people can actually heal themselves if they know that they can. But if a doctor tells you, hey, you're going to go home because all we can do is let you die, that puts a very big block in their brain. So I had a problem with the way that they would tell people things like that because I didn't agree with it. While I was in training, I was sent down to the dean at least once a week or once every 2 weeks just because I would not stop being a rebel. But so, you know, to me, all of these other modalities, all these other techniques, whatever words people choose, they all can work. Your mind is great. It is designed to heal anything it's given as long as it knows it can. So I guess, Dr. Susan, getting the different ways of people, you know, can help themselves is really important. Now, you've also written and published some work.
Yes, I have. My original dissertation was on teaching people, first of all, what is holism, because there is really a lot of confusion about what is holistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started our conversation that way. We said, what is energy medicine exactly? What is alternative healing? Well, you know, there's a lot of overgeneralizations and a lot of misunderstandings. So I wrote my paper first on a description of what is holism. And if you take a circle, I consider it to be a medicine wheel, and divide that into 10 slices, like it's a pie with 10 slices, I have a number of different dimensions in each, and that can be seen on my website, which is holopath.com, HOLOPATH.com. And that plan will look at body, mind, spirit, emotion, vocation, finances, family, universe, spirit, and so on, so that you have to take a look at how you're feeling in all of those areas. Because mm-hmm. when I say to you, Nancy, how are you feeling today? You could bring up a number of things. You might say what's on your mind emotionally, or maybe something physical is happening for you today. Maybe it is a spiritual problem that's been plaguing you, and I know that you're aware of mm-hmm. things that can manifest in our fields of energy that have to do with our guides and guidance. So if I say, how are you today, you could answer me along a range of dimensions. And so originally and initially, when we talk about our health, we have to examine all of these areas to realize that we are multidimensional beings, and that it's not just our physical body that determines our health. And so once we go through that, we realize that we're actually doing okay in some areas and maybe not so good in other areas, and therefore we can choose to do work on that. So you know how it is, especially now, Nancy, people might have trouble with their finances. People might have a lot of fear or a lot of worry about making payments or income. And that does affect the outcome. It does affect how someone feels, whether they feel they can go out today and accomplish a lot or not. So part of that teaching in just what is it to be multidimensional gives a person an understanding that they really need to fix something that has to do with how they're making money or their attitudes about money. And the physical body will have more energy. The disease goes away. And so that was my first published. My second was a series of classes called Creating Miracles, and those are really classes that help you to change your mind, because the mind is the builder of form. And if we are thinking anything negatively, as we all know, really, we're just going to have negative things attracted to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're learning these lessons in so many ways now about how important it is for us to have to be in touch with our mind and our thoughts.
Dr. Susan, do you think that a lot of times, and I know we're kind of touching on it, but just, you know, in general, with the way that people think, period, if they're always in a negative state of mind, their body has no choice but to actually take on that negativity and somehow find a way to make them sick.
Well, and absolutely, and originally, and in early in our interview, I had mentioned we really like to show that there is research that proves all of this. You know, I was trained with Dr. Norm Shealy at Holos University and with Carolyn Mace there in Springfield, Missouri about 10 years ago, and Norm Shealy's biggest thing is we have to show the conventional medical community that the work that we're doing is not only significant, but it is effective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doing research and scientifically proving different modalities are working is really so important. It influences the success or failure of a treatment. So if everyone listening or everyone in a doctor's waiting room today could hear these words, that if they changed their mind about why they were there, they would not be there. They would not have the symptom. Mm-hmm. If they could change the way they think, the actual biochemical healing frequency changes, and that has been shown scientifically. There is a cascade of chemicals that come down when you say, oh, I'm really sick, or I'm afraid that this treatment is going to kill me, or this job is so stressful I can't stand it anymore. I can bet you your back's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we call this hololinguistics, and you know, this is also a science.
Mm-hmm.
We know that what we say our bodies prepare for, and sometimes it takes a little bit of training to change your mind, to learn how to change your mind. We have patterns. We've grown up. We've heard all our lives maybe that we can't do something, or, you know, we might be a failure at something, or we have a misconception about how a disease is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so true now that even with life-threatening disease, if we say, this is my opportunity to change my life, rather, this is killing me,
mm-hmm.
you can bet that your life will change and that your life will be extended for the better. The people that came to me 10 years ago whose doctor said you have 6 months left to live, they're still alive and well.
You know, and I'm sure that's true. You know, that's like when a lot of people come to me and, you know, and I do my sessions. And one of the questions that most people ask me is, how's my health? And I turn it back and I go, why do you ask? Because I want to know where their head is at. Because if they're sitting there because a relative, for example, has had a bad heart and died at an early age, and that's kind of locked in their mind, well, this relative did it, so I'm probably going to do it too, then that gives me a better indication of how to change the way that their mind has kind of put it in there, knowing that they don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. 10 years ago, I started out 22 years ago as an herbalist, and originally I learned how to use herbal medicines and formulas to treat disease, so people would come to me with one thing or another and they just want natural medicine for it rather than a pharmaceutical. And then at a certain point, people started coming to me with more and more difficult things, including what you just said. I remember a woman who came to me that said, I'm afraid that I have breast cancer because my sister has and my mother had and my grandmother had, and at this age everybody has, and I think she may have even had some symptoms of fatigue, or I don't remember her saying she had any lumps or anything like that, but she was just kind of sort of energetically picking up on the disease, and as I sat there with her, I could intuit, I could feel that she did not have this disease, but it was sort of something she was creating in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you also have the ability, Nancy, to sense and see and feel energies, you know, within somebody who comes to you. You can pick up on,
mm-hmm.
you know, through learned observation on how to observe people and through our intuitive abilities, you know, we're able to pick up on a vibration that someone is sending out. And I could tell these people had nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But because on their minds they were building this form, they could probably come up with it if they had kept their mind set on it.
Mm-hmm.
But once someone like us come along to them, we say, you can just clear that out of your mind. That disease is something that you can create for yourself, or you can create a much healthier cellular frequency. And what happens then when you change your mind is your vibrational system begins to clear up on all levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it speeds up clearing. It prevents all these energy blocks and all these jam-ups. It's like holding your breath. You know, if someone sits in front of us and holds their breath, you know, for an hour, of course they're going to get dizzy and feel bad. But we're saying, take a deep breath. You don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, people have this hard time. You know, I don't mean to rag at doctors. But the normal doctor who has a very closed mind, I'll put it that way, and doesn't suggest any kind of alternative healing for their patients, to me, is not doing that patient any kind of justice.
I think what I do is really primary care. It is what all the tribal people have always done. The first, change your food, to change your lifestyle, to change your relationship, to change your mind, to develop support, you know, to do all the right mm-hmm. things in your life first.
And again, I agree, because people, you know, they have a lot of, I call it excess baggage, that they don't need to have within themselves. And letting it go, though, sometimes is the hardest thing for people, because they look at it like, if I let this part go, I don't have anything to replace it.
Yeah, we have a lot of patterns in America. You know, we have this American Medical Association, this allopathic system, you know, and it's kind of based on some misconceptions that, you know, this, I'm sorry to say, but Hippocrates and his oath was about changing the air, waters, and places first, not harming the patient, of course, but his thing was always look at lifestyle first and treat the whole person, not the disease. You know, holistic medicine is what Hippocrates did practice, and we want to treat the current state of the person, not a projected prognosis that is very textbook. We want to treat the person and not the disease. So we don't want to really get involved in all the symptoms, because, first of all, the symptom is like an alarm bell, and we want your alarm bells going off.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do instead is we adapt to those alarm bells. We say, well, I have to go to work right now. I can't pay attention to the fact that, you know, that this bruise hasn't gone away in 4 weeks. I'm going to work again, and I'm going to ignore it, and I'm going to continue to keep on going. And so then it's 4 months later, and this bruise that hasn't gone away now becomes callous, and now it's really looking scary.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't we paying attention to our alarms? Well, we've been taught that if we have a pain, we go to our doctor, and our doctor gives us something so the pain goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's like saying take the batteries out of all your alarm systems in your house, because, you know, you just have to go to work, and that's much more important.
And really, that's truly what people do. And it's like, you know, you're missing the whole big point here about yourself and who you are and what's really important here. Because I don't think they're looking at the fact that if they, you know, they do get sick with whatever, that they're not going to be able to go to work eventually, which is going to cost them in the long run anyway. You know, so, you know, and the other thing I tell people is make sure you like yourself, love yourself. Let yourself be who you need to be. Take care of yourself, actually, before you take care of anybody else. Because too many people want to keep giving all their energy out to everybody else and none back to themselves.
Right.
And that also doesn't work.
And when you said that just now, I just stopped for even just a second and I just took a really deep breath, because we have to remind ourselves
mm-hmm.
that it is most important to work from this body.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're working from our mind or our heart, and we're just not living in our physical body. And, you know, if you can look around at anybody who's overweight, I mean, or seriously, you know, living with long-term conditions of depression, that all of those things are so easily treated with energy medicines, with all natural medicines, with music therapy, sound therapy, vibrational frequencies, homeopathic medicines, even plant-based medicines are as easy to work with for the body and don't have the side effects of all the allopathic drugs. So all of the healing frequencies can bring a person back into balance, but along that path, there's going to be that symptom that'll come back, and at some point you're going to have to sit down and ask, why do I keep getting a headache every time I see my boss? Or why is it that I always get a headache every time I think about, you know, planning this, my daughter's wedding, you know? And so what is it all pointing back to? Is it your fear about finances? Is it your fear about a relationship? Is it your fear about yourself and your self-esteem and your goodness and your worth? You know, it all boils down to, do you feel good enough, right enough, or loved enough?
Mm-hmm. People's fears have a great deal to do with a lot of the things that they do in general. You know, a lot of people tend to live in fear. At some point in time, without a doubt, that is going to catch up and have some kind of repercussions.
Every disease is probably based in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some fear or another. I one of the things that I've learned is, and I tend to work, I guess, more with a physical body at first, although when I'm working and doing healing work, I am working with spirit, and I bring a person to the understanding of themselves as spirit. But it seems that people tend to walk through my door because they have some physical kind of problem. And once, years ago, I worked with a group of 400 people with fibromyalgia. And I noticed after the whole day seminar intensive, throughout the breaks and throughout the phone calls and the patient work that I did after that, that the vibrational frequency of fibromyalgia had a certain feeling to me. And then subsequently, when people, I would meet them, I wouldn't even have to ask them. I could say, you know, are you having problems with fibromyalgia? And they'd say, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed there was the same kind of things people would say, the same kind of attitudes about life, and it was very negative.
Mm-hmm.
It was the kind of energy that no matter what you said, that person would say, yes, but, and find something wrong with everything.
Right.
And I think that's a pattern. I think that's an energetic pattern that, you know, maybe there are ways through taking herbs or remedies or massage or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are protocols for fibromyalgia. They're completely all natural. But I think that in large part, the mind is the builder of form, and the individual has to change their mind about the way that they approach everything and know that they're safe in this world.
Mm-hmm. Does biofeedback work well?
I use the EPFX QXCI system of quantum biofeedback, which combines classical biofeedback, where you're looking at heart rhythms and brain rhythms, nervous system rhythms, and the skin, you know, like you would on a lie detector or other MRIs that use magnetic frequencies. The EPFX uses energies that loop through and measure your reactivity in and along the acupuncture meridian. So it looks, it's able to pick up frequencies a little bit more on how the physical body is functioning along these meridians. So if there's a blockage along a heart meridian or a liver meridian, for example, it might pick that up and be able to give us some more feedback on the physical body. It's amazing to me how accurately we can evaluate what's happening. And it's also interesting to me how well we know so much and can put that all in a computer program nowadays. That, for example, in along the spine, if you were an osteopath or a chiropractor working in certain areas along the spine, that different vertebrae are connected to different emotions. That fascinates me, that you can pick and poke at a certain area and it's connected to a certain emotional issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, or I'm sure that many people have had a massage and known that all of a sudden issues from their childhood are triggered. There's some emotional release going on with the physical body, that it holds trauma in different places. And so it's interesting to me when we strap on, you know, these fancy biofeedback devices, how well we can pick up things like our emotional state, our physical state, and our sensitivities to so many things in the environment that do cause us disease.
Yeah. There's also one of my other pet peeves that maybe you can help me with is the children and how they constantly start giving all of these children all that Ritalin and all the stuff for ADD, ADHD.
Yeah.
I have a very big problem with that.
I do too. You know, I started out as an educator. I worked in our public school system in Milwaukee for a number of years, and I did work with students with emotional and behavioral disabilities. My master's paper was on non-medical alternatives for ADHD. And one of those was the Feinstein diet, which removed food additives and food colorings and, you know, had people choosing whole foods and more nutritional things, and wondered how that might affect a child with ADHD. So I actually ran a research program like that. I had students participate that were completely wild, some of them violent and coming from residential treatment facilities in the city, into this program. And so the first thing we did is we'd have them fill out a food diary. What do you eat now? And it's scary to know that, for example, one young lady was living on 3 bags of something like a Flamin' Hot Cheeto or Dorito with hot sauce on it, and a couple of sweet cakes and maybe a can of orange soda for breakfast, and then every 3 or 4 hours throughout the day, more of these chips, maybe a couple of hot dogs in the evening. But in large part, these kids were living on chips and fat and junk food that you find in a vending machine or buy, you know, 6 tiny bags for a dollar at a gas station. I mean, terrible. And then from that to the diet, which said, here you're having oatmeal and apples and fruits and vegetables and so on, completely changed their behavior around.
Mm-hmm.
To being, you know, I remember one student, 5 adults would have to hold him down when he got upset. It was serious. He went from that to enrolling in a school for gifted and talented, and, you know, went on to become, you know, someone who, I mean, everybody was so amazed at this change. And it was the diet. Now, yes. You know, I think that in ADHD, there might be some nutritional deficits. There might be some deficits in amino acids in the ways that kids burn energy up. But there needs to be a difference in the way our schools are treating these gifted and talented children.
That's
if they're multitasking, that's great. We need to give them more, not more paperwork, but, you know,
right.
More activities.
Which is true. I have, and I don't know if you read in my bio, but I have a 501c3, which is a nonprofit, called A Child's Miracle Mind, which is designed to put together a bunch of programs to help kids, you know, that are considered to be ADD, ADHD, first to get off of the drugs by using all the different methods, and a lot of them of what you've already talked about that you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to go into what's called the School of Now, which is changing the school system and the school I want to open so that these gifted children who are multitasking really get to be who they really are and all they can be without all of the strange things that they're made to do at school that it's not, you know, conducive to them and it's not helping them. So I'm in the process of doing all that. So we're going to have to talk again, Susan, because I'm looking for some people to help me out with some knowledge that I need. And you've got a lot of the credentials that I need.
Well, count me in on that one, because I also believe that some of the reasons why those children are failing, or many of our children are failing, is because we're giving them instruction in two modalities, linguistic and numeric. We're giving them like reading types of things in numeric, but there are 9 different types of intelligences.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not teaching them the experiences, the personalities, and how to integrate that, we can't expect them to take information from a book and then integrate that by themselves into their life. That's just not possible.
No.
They have to have some other experiences. And so I do also work with some of the schools still in Milwaukee and try to provide programs that are alternative and more successful.
Mm-hmm. And it's needed. I mean, the idea of my school is to take the 20% that does not fit the bell curve, that are actually slipping through our system, you know, being diagnosed with different things or not being given the chance. And that's one of my pet peeves. You know, my granddaughter is one of the reasons why I put it together. And I've told this story a couple times, and the thing is ever since she's been like 2.5, you know, she has a photogenic mind, and I know that, but I will not tell her that because it's something that she needs to discover. So she was in Montessori schools, and my daughter teaches there, and they would tell my daughter every day that my granddaughter has got a chemical imbalance, something's not right with her, she needs to be put on something, she needs this, she needs that. And coming from a Montessori school, I thought, what are you saying? So it aggravated me. So I had noticed that my granddaughter could watch a video movie, a full-length video movie, one time. The next time it's going to come on that she's going to watch it, she knows every single word by every single character that's being said from the start of the movie to the end of the movie, and she's working on the computer while she's doing it. So I told Tracy, which is my daughter, to go back to the school when they start saying that, and you ask them if she cannot focus, because that was her big thing, she can't focus, why she's able to do that. And they couldn't answer that. So they finally started laying off of my granddaughter, you know, saying that she can't do this and she can't do that. She's one of these kids that's very, very intelligent, gets bored really easy like a lot of the kids do today. So I put this, you know, my organization together because of that, because I watched it. You know, and I thought, well, if my granddaughter's going through this, there's many, many kids going through the same thing, and there's not a need for that. So that's why I put, you know, my plan into work.
Well, yeah, I'm in. You know, count me in. I'd love to work on it. I tried to, for a little while, work in our district in Milwaukee Public Schools to set up some alternative programs with funding from Bill Gates, who so generously gave our city $17 million to do some alternative programming. But there was still so much constraint with the bureaus and the districts and the rules. And, you know, if you have to have a program where you have to have their staff, and the staff isn't trained in anything humanistic or even spiritual or alternative, then, you know, the program's not going to work. So I kind of walked away from that project. But my heart is there, too.
Good. You're more than welcome to be part of mine, and we'll get it going. The other thing, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, things that people really have out there. Now, you named some of them. You know, you talked about the flower essence, and you talked about sound healing. But what about the magnets? People tend to buy those little magnetic bracelets. Do those really help?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure I'm so qualified to talk about that. I do personally have a Neekin mattress. I have had that for about 10 years. I used to suffer with fibromyalgia-like symptoms, and I would not, you know, of course I wouldn't say that I had anything like that, but I did have at one point in time a lot of physical symptoms of pain that was very much similar to what that sounds like. I have been sleeping on that bed, and I have the quilt also from Neekin that I've used as my bed quilt, and I understand that it helps to keep the body more alkaline. And of course, if we have an acidic environment in our body, in our blood, in our cells, that's what creates disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it it helps that in that way, and it also, I'm sure, has something to do with the polarity of the electrons and on a cellular level. But I'm not a spokesperson for that particular company, so I couldn't really talk about it. I think what bothers me is that, you know, all of our energy medicines, all of our things, they become so commercial right now, where I'm not sure the little bracelets or the rings or the things, the pennants, some of the things that are sold, I really don't know if they're effective or not. I've certainly tried those, and I found that they were nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But on a much larger level, I do understand that, you know, you can change the polarity of this, your cells, and increase your health. So I do it more with quantum biofeedback, with a Reiki healing or an essential Reiki healing, rather than using magnets. So,
okay. Now, you also talked about light and sound healing. How does that really work with people?
I want to say that when I was going to do my dissertation originally, my intention was to do sound healing. I think that music is the most healing thing for me. When I'm sick, I'm not always so physically sick, but I get myself into an emotional state. And if I can change my emotional state, then I won't come down with anything physically. And music is my medicine. I have always very soothing medicine playing in my center, in my clinic, in my workspace. And, I find it difficult in this loud world to be without that. There are healing frequencies of the tuning fork that in research, the tuning fork actually has been shown to change the spin of the cells. And again, this is very statistical scientific research, and I don't want to misquote anything, but nowadays we can Google everything. So absolutely fascinating research on the healing ability of a tuning fork. So if you're using crystal bowls, whether they're crystal bowls or even the metal Tibetan bowls, those frequencies, you can feel the vibrational frequency of those through your body, and it creates a feeling of relaxation, and that's what we sense. But it actually does some more medical good for us. There's something happening on a cellular level, and certain organs need to be sound massaged, if you will, back to their own operating frequency. And that goes back to Pythagoras and all the healers from the old days when they had temples, healing temples, and they would play music, certain musics, to heal certain conditions. And they knew in those days, using string instruments, violin, what we use now, we can use a cello or a deep bass to heal the heart chakra. And so there's research again now. Of course, we always have to, you know, do our research to prove that there is an effect on normalizing and stabilizing the heartbeat and blood pressure, for example, with a certain stringed instrument. And that, to me, is the most beautiful thing.
Well, it is. There's a person that I interviewed. He actually plays the harp, and he plays very healing music. And you know, his story is kind of funny because he never knew how to play the harp, you know, but that's what they wanted him to do. So they had him go out into the deserts of Sedona and live with nothing, you know, like nothing, live in a car, whatever, but no material things to learn how to play this harp so it does healing music. And now he's known like all around the world. So music in general, and I agree totally, is that it is a big healer. I'm not talking about the hard metal stuff or the rap songs that they have. I'm talking about true music, which a lot of people don't understand what true music is at this point. But it is. It's very, those vibrational energies that come from there are very, very healing for people. Like with kids, Bach, Beethoven, Mozart music is very good to help equalize the brain. You know,
It is wonderful, and I guess maybe I'm getting old and I'm starting to wonder why we listen to other kinds of music, but you know, dance and tribal music and drum and, you know, all of that. I really do love tribal music. I think that it brings us also back to our ancestral patterns, but, you know, our kids are trying to teach us that, you know, every tribe comes up with a new ancestral pattern, and, you know, I guess we have to be tolerant of that. But yeah, back, if we're looking at truly healing with tuning forks or sound vibrational healing, it's really amazing how well the body responds.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also talk about acupuncture. Now, a lot of people, they know what acupuncture is, but a lot of them are very afraid to do it because the idea that you're having needles put all over you. So can you explain maybe why acupuncture would work?
Well, I guess first you have to realize, and most Americans don't have this visual concept, but, you know, many people have still seen these human figure that has, like, little dots connecting from, say, the middle of the forehead down to one spot on the shoulder on the right side down to the arm ending at the third finger, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay, just, like, connect the dots along a line. The Chinese have always practiced this form of medicine where they know there are these pulse points that lead from one point to another, and those can give us, those are connected to one of the organ systems, circulation, heart, lymph, spleen, liver, sexual center, etc. So if you massage these points, you don't have to stick a needle so much. You can find these points and press on them with a fingernail, or press on them with a small blunt tool like the end of an eraser, you know, not a sharp object, but you can still find those points and stimulate those points and feel. Then when you're finished, sit back and feel. You can feel the energy running through those circuits. It's like plugging in. You can practice many things with acupuncture. You can stimulate a system to get more energy by thumping on the thymus, for example, which is just below the throat, a little higher than the heart. You know, these are all areas that, you know, can give more energy, or they can sedate. They have points in the ear. Auricular acupuncture has been used to, you know, and that's a good way to start out learning. Just look at the points on the ear and use your own ear and start by just massaging your ear, and you'll find how relaxed you feel in a few minutes if you take the time to do that. And that's one of the quit smoking points are on the ear. But even if you just take your hand and massage your ear for a few minutes, you'll find some relief. So those are just ways to work, to release energies that are blocked or provide more energy to another area.
When people talk about chakra systems, I'm not so sure everybody quite understands what the chakra system's all about. Is there a way that you can explain to the listeners a little bit more about the chakra system? Because it's all very much related to everything you're talking about so far.
Yeah, you know, even if you were just a regular medical doctor listening in and you didn't understand anything at all, at least they understand the solar plexus, which is that area above the navel, below the rib cage. We have always called this a plexus. And this solar plexus is one of the chakras. Well, if you could look at the body and the nerve bundles that we have, there are seven different nerve bundles. If you were a physician, you'd know there's a heart bundle, there's a bundle at the throat, at the third eye, or, you know, at the brow between the pineal and pituitary. And you know, at the base of the spine, or by the perineum. All of these different points are points of energy bundle. We know if someone's heart stopped, we could punch them in their heart chakra and get the heart to start again. We know that if we wanted to protect ourselves and not have any vision, we could put our hand over our forehead. And even we know it, we need to notice the times when we do cover our bodies over our chakras. You know, when you're rubbing your head and closing your mind, that means you don't want to know anymore. You want to close down that vision chakra, which is the third eye. Or when you have something at the top of your head, you know, it means that you don't want to hear anymore from the universe because you're completely full.
They do that to me a lot.
I just wanted to mention one more thing about the acupuncture points. It's really interesting to me that, you know, all the young people are getting their tongues pierced.
Mm-hmm.
And that piercing point where people have their tongue pierced is an acupuncture point for brain lethargy.
Mm.
So that's not a good place to stick a needle. You don't want to be sort of dull and dazed in your mind. And so I would recommend anyone with a tongue piercing to just let that grow back and not have to stimulate, you know, brain fog.
Which is what they have. What about all these high-energy drinks that these kids are drinking today?
Well, you know, there's just too much sugar, too many preservatives, too many colors, too much money trying to be made on health in the wrong way. Somebody put something in their water the other day. I said, what's in there? There was 5 grams of inulin, which is a healthy thing. It's a fiber, undigestible fiber that's very good for the body. But along with that came 12, you know, milligrams of sugar, some red food coloring, some 5 or 6 things we couldn't pronounce. And that's all not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are really nice things we can make as energy drinks that are made from natural fruits and juices. Some of the more popular ones, the acai berry is very, very good. So I guess the V8 company, are starting to put some of these products in their combinations, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Acai berry, goji berry, mangosteen, pomegranate, blueberry, all very, very good. And I would say just get the natural products and mix your own juices.
Mm-hmm.
Mix your own fruit juices together with apple juice or water rather than having to mix it in with things that also include other artificial preservatives and so on. So if we can clear out the commercial need to make money and have everything be so different colored, you know,
mm-hmm.
It can be a good thing. There's some good things about it.
The other thing is that I'm having a hard time with, and I'm sure other people are too, is the different hormones that they're putting in all of the foods.
I grieve at that. I grieve at the American agricultural process, the fact that they're feeding food scraps to cows and chickens. And those are 2 vegetarian animals.
Mm-hmm.
To feed them that is disgusting. Why wouldn't they get sick, these poor animals? And then to treat them with antibiotics and growth hormones to get them to grow fast, to slaughter. That whole process, that is just so horrifying to me. I much prefer the European system or the organic American system that says let the animals grow. Feed them good, feed them well, and pay a little bit more. I've been in high schools in Milwaukee and taught a little bit about nutrition and eating organic, 100% organic. And people say, well, isn't that expensive? And I say, here, I have a bowl of broccoli in this bowl, and I have a bowl of broccoli in this other bowl. And then for demonstration purposes, Nancy, I take a can of hairspray, and I spray one bowl with hairspray. And then I have a can of deodorant, and I spray deodorant on it, too. And then I say, well, which bowl would you rather have? And they say, well, the one without the spray, of course. And I say, well, it's going to cost you a little bit more.
I laugh because that's a very good way to get people to understand it.
You know, and they say, what is organic anyway? And I say, well, we don't spray that with pesticides and poisons and fertilizers, and we don't add that into the cocktail that every day you're already eating things with food colorings and sugar and salt and preservatives. So avoiding all of that and eating natural, organic, and wholesome foods, you know, that's the number one thing. To stay healthy, and I, you know, that's what I advocate. Pay a little bit more, but you won't be sick then.
Right. That's like, you know, when you're talking about the antibiotics. I mean, they've got so much things that are they are putting into the chickens and to the cows, and then the children turn around and they drink a lot of milk, which is not really the best thing for them to be doing.
I agree with you.
I was raised on a farm every summer where we had cows. We used to drink raw milk, okay, raw milk. We never got sick from that, you know. It was very good. But today, you know, to sit down and drink a glass of milk, it's like, what is in this milk? Because it's not anything, you know, in my opinion, that is really helping us, because it's byproducts from what they're given to the cows and what they're given to the chickens.
Yeah,
and
the American Medical Association and all the FDA and all these little government build a pyramid or whatever that is all about, you know, over the years, since the 50s, they say eggs are good for you, eggs then are bad for you because they're high in cholesterol, and then eggs are good for you, and then, you know, well, which is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is butter good for you or not good for you? Well, the truth is this. If you have a natural egg, if you have an egg from a farm, from a healthy hen, that egg contains enzymes that allow your body to metabolize the cholesterol. If you have, same with meat, red meat from a healthy animal, it's going to contain the enzymes for you to metabolize that food. But if you have it from some, I want to say mechanical chicken, because these overbred chickens, with hormones and this bad food, and they're very diseased birds, their eggs are lacking in these enzymes. So it ends up to be just fat.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have this matrix that you need. And that's one of the things, that is also different between organic food and other agriculturally produced food. A bag of carrots at a supermarket might be 29 cents. And at an organic store might be 59 cents. But the one at the supermarket is going to have only 400 international units of vitamin A, beta carotene. And the organic bag is going to have 40,000 units of vitamin A, beta carotene. You can tell the organic carrots, your hands turn orange after you're done peeling them, and the other ones don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pay a little more so I wouldn't have to take a fake vitamin pill at the end of the day. You know, that's another thing, another benefit of eating whole food.
A lot of people pop vitamins like they're just nothing. Do you think that's that healthy for them?
No, I think unless you're eating healthy foods and have the right enzymes to digest the foods, that you're not getting what you need from it, and the vitamin pill is just like a sucking on a rock, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's just going to pass right through the system.
Yeah, I don't buy them. I don't take them. I'd rather eat food. The other thing that's like, I'm a big water drinker. I love water, okay? A lot of people don't drink enough water today either.
Well, I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and, you know, for as much as I like being here, we have really terrible water, and we have had several times waterborne crises where almost everyone in the population was affected by cryptosporidium. We have times when there's so much rain that our sewers overflow and raw sewage ends up in the water supply, and, you know, people get really sick. I would never, and haven't in the city of Milwaukee here, I would never drink tap water, although we still shower and bathe in it. So I advocate to all of my students and my patients to drink a high-quality water, and it needs to be a pure spring water. It needs to be from an artesian well that is underground, in an aquifer underground, where the water has gone through the soil and the layers and the strata of the earth as it should be, picking up along the way all the natural minerals it should have. Not poisoned by any dead animals floating in it or waste or sewage or pollution, but fresh and natural as possible. And then maybe, if it can be bottled at the source, great. But really minimally processed. We need the purest water minimally processed. And I think Fiji is the best on the planet at this point.
I like Fiji. They're very expensive, but I like
It's expensive, but once again, your body becomes hydrated by that water. The problem with taking a municipal water of any from any city and applying ozone or UV radiation or filtering to it doesn't do much, because our water, for example, and many municipal waters have so many chemicals in it to purify it. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It has then, because it had to be purified, the dead bodies of the pathogens that were living and floating in it, and that's not good. And
yeah.
So that's a huge body burden. The extra sodium that many cities put in their water to make it soft from being a hard water, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So we have heart disease. We have high blood pressure. We have precursors in our water to most of our diseases. If you look around the country at what cities have the highest problem with heart disease and high blood pressure, then find out if they're drinking hard or soft water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've done that work, and it turns out people are putting sodium in the water. So it throws off the magnesium-sodium balance for the heart to function properly, and it's all linked to what we eat and breathe and drink. And it's so important. Ozone filtration systems where you go and you to the store and you fill up your own bottle sometimes, and they have
mm-hmm.
ozone, changes the water molecule, so it doesn't hydrate the body as the way that water is supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So well, you might say it's expensive, but I say, you know, your body's not using the other stuff.
Oh, no, I like it. I will spend the money for that. Because that water, it tastes really, really well. People say you cannot taste water. That's not true. You can taste things in water. At least I can. So if I've got some water and something is not tasting to me like it should, I don't drink it. You know, so I think that, you know, spending the money for the Fuji, the food, you know, the organic food, all of that's very, very good, and it's very, very practical. What I would like for you to do, Dr. Susan, is please give out your phone number or a website again where people can reach you and get in contact with you if they'd like.
Well, thank you so much. My telephone in Milwaukee is 414-526-5699. And my website is holopath, holopath.com, www.holopath.com.
You know, our time is up.
Well, good. Thank you so much.
No, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I hope the listeners enjoyed as much as I have enjoyed it. And we'll be talking, Susan, because I'm really, you know, interested in you being part of my organization, because I think
you
do wonders for it. So with that, I do have to say thank you for being on this show. It was very, very enlightening, and I hope everybody enjoyed it, again, as much as I did. So thank you very much for being on the show.
So thanks. Good night.
You take care. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and do what you heard tonight. Take care. Bye now.